Amen. Thank you. Please be seated. Please be seated. Let's find in our Bibles this evening, 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy chapter 3. We began this message last week, and as I'm prone to do, I got long-winded and didn't finish it. But I still let you out close to on time. Amen. So there's some consolation there, right? 2 Timothy chapter 3, we're going to read the first five verses and get us back into what we've got to do a little review, I guess, to say, and then we'll get into this. It says, this know also, chapter 3, verse 1, this know also that in the last days perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying the power thereof. From such, turn away. Whew. That's a lot of stuff, isn't it? It's a lot of stuff. He said this. He said, the last days, and I covered this last week, so I'm just going to kind of breeze through this, but I'm going to still go touch these things again. He said, the last days will be a time riddled with misplaced love. Our love is going to be in the wrong place. Men are going to be lovers of self, being covetous for money to please self, right? They will be boasters of self, right? Speaking highly of themselves in the attempt to find value in self, right? Listen, they will be proud of self externally, yet internally they will be insecure and doubt. Okay, this is what he's talking about. It's going to be, which means they will be blasphemers, speaking against others to inflate self, right? These people will have children that will be disobedient to parents. So they'll also be corrupting the next generation, which will develop an unthankful, entitled generation, which will absolutely be unholy, not giving thanks unto God, but only giving thanks to self, which leads to lacking natural affections, which are abnormal family relationships and unsocial tendencies. This disconnect with other people leads to a problematic commitment to others, and in the way of being exposed, in the way of being truce breakers. They've got this disconnect. And all of these behaviors and all these attitudes and all these developed personalities lead to a lack of self-control, ultimately to fierceness, which is primarily directed at those that are good. Be lacking loyalty. They will turn on those that would otherwise be their greatest help. Responding with reckless or rash decisions and reactions. So lifted up by their own pride that they themselves will not be able to recognize it. So, what this scripture is talking about is a period of time like we live in. Man, it's almost like it's prophetic. Okay, it's more than, no, it is what it is. It's when you see this, now, I'm not going to try to pretend like we're the only ones that have lived in this kind of thing. This was going on. And remember I said this is contemporary. Well, this was contemporary to Paul and Timothy because he says, of such, turn away. He's talking about it right now. But that was going on right then. But I'm telling you, it's going on now. If it's ever been a time, this demonstrates our society and our generation. So I showed you this illustration last week, and I want to show it again. And I want us to remind us again and look at it so we can get this picture, because I'm going to talk about it, and it's a perfect example of what this whole thing of self is going to look like. Is is we take self, right? And the selfishness, self-centeredness, and we fill our life up with self until there's nothing left in our life. There's no more room left in our life except for self. Nothing. No room. It's chock full. It's really strange how that cup actually has... It's almost like we're overfilled with self. And we talked about this last week, and I'm going to say a few things because I don't want to preach all that again. But self-centered, yet not self-aware. They become difficult to handle, right? By the way, the they is the sometime is the we. So difficult to handle that anyone always overreacting at any external input, anybody that tries to give us something, tells us something, instructs us on something, gives us some suggestion for our life, gives us some conviction, some desire, something that we ought to do, we can't touch them because we're going to leak out of our life and we explode. Right? We talked about this last week. They have no room for anything or anyone else. There's no space in their life for correction, instruction, or even to be disagreed with. And this will be the condition of more and more people, more and more of us, during the last days. And this is the point that Paul had made in verse 4. Lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God. Loving pleasure more than they love God. And so, this evening I want to start with number one is this. All of this will be done, though. And this is what's, we get to this, sometimes when we preach a message out of context, we miss the context. Duh, right? We can miss, when we kind of cut a piece out, we can miss the context of what he's really dealing with. The big part of what he's dealing with here is this, my point number one is this, all in the name of religion. All of this can be in the name of religion. Look at verse 6 now. For of this sort are they which creep into houses and lead captive silly women laden with sins, led away with divers lusts, ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. So, you're like, Pastor, are you going to be preaching on women again tonight? No, we're just here. In this context, it's not really talking about women. It's talking about this likeness to a silly woman that's being drawn away on this thing. Listen here. There's this form of religion that we're talking about that happens here of this for this sort. He says in verse 6, this sort are they this sort of people are they which creep into houses. That sounds creepy, right? So we're given an illustration here. So it's not really just like you say they're actually creeping into houses. It's kind of given into your life, into this thing, and such as lead captive silly women that are laden with sins. And they're led away by divers lusts. And here's the problem, verse 7, ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Listen, this form of religion is attractive to those that dwell in sin. It's a form of religion that feeds the carnal believer. All of these things. These that are more concerned with living in and of this world than surrendered to Christ. He says, so what Paul is trying to warn Timothy of is what's going to happen. It's perilous times. It's strange. When we think of perilous times, when I think of perilous times, you know what I'm mostly thinking about? I'm thinking about how bad it's going to get for us. You know the kind of things I've heard almost my whole Christian life? Coming up to 30 years, I've been saved, and pretty soon, beginning next year, and almost my whole, we're going to get to a time where we're not going to be able to have church anymore. They're going to come and shut us down. How many of you heard that? We're not going to be able to have church. I've heard that my whole Christian life. Some of y'all heard it longer than me. And so that we're not going to be able to have church anymore. They're going to shut it down. We're not going to be. And so a lot of times, we're going to lose our tax exemption. A lot of what I've been hearing almost my whole life is how bad the world's going to get for us. But you know what I hear Paul telling Timothy? Perilous times is going to be how bad we're going to get. right? And the danger is less about, we enjoy so much freedom in our country, we think if we lose some freedom, it's going to be terrible, right? The fact is, in Bible times, they had no freedom. They weren't thinking about what the world's going to do. They didn't have any rights. But they were what the warning was is how we're going to be, what we have to be warned about, what we have to look for. But the people that get snatched up with this are those that are more concerned with living in this world than those that are surrendered to Christ. But what ends up happening is that they spend a great deal, and it talks about this in verse 7, in this sense, in Bible study. We'll have people come in here. We ought to have more Bible study. Let's have a Bible study. Let's have a ladies' Bible study. Let's go do this over here. They want Bible study. They want more. They'll spend a great deal in study of the Bible, ever attempting to learn, but failing to come to the knowledge of the truth of the Word of God. It's amazing to me, folks. I'm telling you, this is just a sad thing, but it's a true reality. Is the average Bible-believing church doesn't know much about the Bible. I'm talking about the individuals as a whole. You could do a quiz. And the average people that have sat under Bible preaching for years, decades sometimes, you can ask some basic questions and they're missing. So what we got is we got such a surface level that we miss. And what Paul is saying, we're going to have to watch out. These are the people that are going to be, you know, they're these silly women laden with sins and diverse lusts, and they're still wanting all the things out there. Never really coming to this place of a dedication to the Lord. And what we've talked about in Sunday nights for quite a bit now is trying to find this place of revival. Let's get back to where, can I say this, back to where we should have always been. Some of us, it's not where we used to be, it's where we should have been, right? And this is the thing, but this is nothing new, okay? What we're dealing with now, it's nothing new. Look at verse 8. He says this, "Now as Jannes and Jambres withstood Moses, so do these also resist the truth. Men of corrupt minds, reprobate concerning the faith." Now it's interesting. We just find how they're in verse 7, ever learning, but never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. But now here they are. They resist the truth. As these two fellows, these are names that it's believed. And if it's in the Bible, I'm going to take it that it is the names of the magicians of Pharaoh. When Moses was there, it was their names, and who they opposed Moses, attempting. Remember, they attempted to imitate what God did, right? They wanted to do the snake. They turned the rod to a snake. Remember that? And Aaron's snake swallowed up their snakes, and then they turned the water to the rivers to blood. They turned a pool to blood, but then they turned all the rivers to blood. And they tried to imitate what God was doing. This is what they did. They resist the truth. Watch this. To accomplish their own agenda. And that's what they did back there in Egypt. They resisted, and Pharaoh resisted, and we know how that worked out for him, right? He resisted trying to accomplish his own agenda. They are corrupted, it says here, and reprobate, meaning this, they do not measure up to the faith of the Word of God. And so it's really what that word in a nutshell means. It's trying our own way to do our own thing, but not measuring up to what God said. So what we can often find ourselves doing is creating our own version of Christianity. Matter of fact, we can create our own gospel. And matter of fact, it says in the scripture, there's another gospel, which is not a gospel, right? We developed something new based on really what we're seeking, right? We kind of develop our own Christianity. Well, I don't think God works that way. Right, I had a great family friend, and she said, you know, I believe we just worship God out in the river, just worship God in nature, right? Okay, that's you could do that, but not in lieu of doing what He said is to assemble together with God's people. But some will say, well, I think drinking wine is okay. Jesus drank wine, you know. Man, I hate getting in that conversation with people. You know, I almost want to say, are you already decided, or can we look at the scriptures and talk about it? No, it's just what the Bible says. You know, I've I've tried to show people in the Word of God with this till it blew in the face, and I just go to a common sense thing and say, you know, the Bible says, be not filled with wine. Okay? Where in his excess, be ye filled with the Spirit. Okay? So this is just a clear thing. But I've dealt with people, well, I just think it's okay. Well, yeah, because you want to be a reprobate. Oh, you say, that's kind of cruel. That's what it means. It means creating a system. By the way, and that's not the only thing. Don't get caught up on that. It's just an easy one to, because we've all dealt with that kind of thing. We get where we kind of set ourselves on something that I think God works this way. I want to imitate all His stuff. I'm a Christian. I believe. I do all this, but really, I don't follow Jesus Christ. So there's this whole thing. Here's the thing. This is what's going to happen all around us. But what he's saying, though, what we're going to find out is this error will be manifest. Look at verse 9. But they shall proceed no further, for their folly shall be manifest unto all men, as theirs also was. So, things happen that reveal true Christianity. I think we've experienced one of those in our generation, at least one, probably several, but did God cause that or did he allow it? I don't know these things. I can't give you answers on all that stuff, you know. But I seen through COVID a lot of people that had said, I put my trust in the Lord, revealed that they put their trust in Fauci, or in an injection, or in medical service. And Pastor, are you saying people shouldn't? You say people should just come and not worry about? I'm saying there should be a trust in the Lord. So what does that look like? I'm saying what happened? So many people. I know people that got out of church and have never come back yet. And people say, I'm just too scared. I'm afraid I'm going to get. I don't like pain. I don't like pain. I don't like sickness that hurts. Right? Ms. Cook, you know what I'm saying. I don't like sickness that hurts. I like sickness that, you know, you can sit in a chair and kind of sleep and rest and, you know, eat snacks. I don't mind that kind of sickness. But I don't like the sickness that hurts, and some people really hurt. And I had COVID. I've had COVID 3 times now, by the way. He said, don't you think you should do something? Probably. I don't know. But here's the thing. When I'm sick like that, I was sick nigh unto death. Not really. I get like that all the time. I'm just a very bad sick person. I mean, I am. I'm just like, I'm going to die. But, you know, and I understand that. I understand I don't want to be sick because it hurts and the pain. I understand that. But can we accept that God knows that? Can we accept that God knows what He's allowed to come to us? And so when we say, and I'm not saying we don't use some precaution, use some sense. There's the Old Testament had a lot of things in how we were not to pass germs, and we didn't even know what germs were. And there's things, you know, different things there that were designed for that. So there's some things there. But when we begin to get so fearful that I can't do what God asked me to do, we have crossed the line. And what's happened is it was revealed. It's revealed in many hearts that I wasn't trusting God. By the way, you know who a lot of people, who was exposed to a lot of people? A lot of us, it was exposed to ourselves where we trust. But also these people that he's talking about, it was made manifest. Listen, the one that follows this foolishness, supposedly in the name of Jesus, will be known by those who truly follow Christ. We're going to see this, folks. We'll see what it looks like. And it brings us to point number two is this. You know the truth. You know the truth. Look at verse 10. He says this, and kind of a little bit of a shift here. He says, but thou, okay? He says in verse 2, he says, for men. Right? He's saying there's going to be people like this. He said, but now verse 10, but thou hast fully known my doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, charity, patience, persecutions, afflictions, which came unto me at Antioch and Iconium, at Lystra, what persecutions I endured, but out of them all, the Lord delivered me. Yea, And all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. But evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them, and that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. Listen, the answer to the perilous times that come is still the Word of God. The answer is still the Word of God. Man, it's going to come. It's going to be bad times. Can I say so? The Lord knew that. He's allowed it. He knows it's coming. It's part of it. And we ain't the first ones to have to struggle. Man, the worst we're going to deal with is probably nothing near what some people behind us have dealt with. And I'm going to tell you, the people during the tribulation, not going to ever be anything like that. So, what are we afraid of? The perilous times are going to come. And I'm going to tell you, if we don't know this, we have something to be afraid of. There was this whole series. I don't think I ever seen him. But this Left Behind series, I know a lot of people are like, man, when I had some people, they said, I've set up this package that if I get raptured, my family can come find that package and explains everything to them. I said, well, I got an idea. You ready for this? How about you go tell them now? Okay, so if following Jesus Christ today costs you nothing, and you won't do it, but over there it's going to cost you your head, you think they're going to do it then? And I've had people look at me like, oh, like they had it all planned out. I could live my best life with my family members and not ever tell them anything, and then at the end I give them this little cracker, you know, or something that's going to help them out. Listen, I don't want to get into that tonight, but the Bible says they're going to be made to believe a delusion. Okay, and God's going to make them to believe those that have rejected the truth already. Anyway, I don't want to get into too further on that. But the answer to the perilous times is the Word of God. Knowing the Word of God is what will keep us from being drawn into the trap of this sort. We need to have a way to be kept from being drawn away like these silly women, right? Otherwise, another time he said, tossed to and fro by every wind of doctrine, right? Every new thing that comes along. Oh, I should do that, and oh, I should do this. Tossed to and fro, and this kind of thing. He said, what's our answer to that? Well, I got to figure out what every false religion teaches. Man, you'll never figure it out because they got new ones, right? I got to figure out what every deception could ever be. Good luck with that. Just when you think you figured it out, they figured out how to do high tech. You know, now they can, I mean, y'all know this, but now they can have people come up and on TV or on a video or whatever, it could be the person saying something, but it's not them at all. It's AI. How do you believe anything anymore? I'm saying, I mean, our news is so trustworthy, right? I don't trust any of them. I don't trust any of them. You're like, well, this one's better. Ah, maybe. But there's been enough deception on this. I'm saying, folks, there's only one thing that's going to keep us. Not knowing all the wrongs, right? It's what's right. This is what's going to keep us there. This is the Word of God. Knowing it is going to keep us from being drawn in the trap of this. So look at verse 16. Okay. He said, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. So, the word of God is profitable. Here's what he said. It's going to cover all these things. Number one is this doctrine. Okay, I don't hear this as much. I used to hear this maybe about 20 years ago. People would say so. Doctrine divides. And they said that like that's a bad thing, you know. Doctrine divides, and so we don't talk about. I was pastoring there in Iowa, and we had the the ministerial assassination, alliance group, right? All these preachers from different groups, they'd come together and say, they said, hey, we got Methodists, we got Lutherans, we got Catholics, but we don't have any Baptists. Why don't you come join us? And I said, oh, that's nice. Well, we'll see. And I just kind of played nice with them. Finally, he cornered me. He said, why don't you ever come? And he said, we don't talk about doctrine. Doctrine divides. We don't talk about that. And he kept on. And I said this to him. I don't know if I should have, but I did. I said, listen, I preach truth and I expose error. I was a young kind of arrogant preacher, maybe. I said, but we preach truth and expose error. The guy looked at me like, and he never asked me again, so it accomplished what I wanted. But, listen, doctrine is really this. Doctrine is what we learn is true. Okay. The scripture is profitable for doctrine. We learn what is true from this, not from this. Not from our own thinking or our own logic, but from the inspired Word of God. He said it's inspired for this. He said this is what it's by inspiration of God, and it's profitable for truth. This is where we're going to find doctrine. Folks, and you've heard me say this before, but don't tell somebody what God says unless you can show them what God says. Amen? Is that a good statement? Is that something we ought to live with? Listen, don't tell me what God says, show me. Now, do both. But if you're going to tell me what God says, it ought to be from here, not from here or from here. And so this is the Word of God is what's profitable for that. That's where we're at. So for doctrine. But it also gives us this thing we call, that the Bible calls reproof. Okay? Which tells us where we are wrong. This guy doesn't like reproof. Right? So who is this person? Well, it could be any of us, couldn't it? It could be so full of self that to try to even, right, even try to touch, somebody tries to come and says, hey, there's something in your life that's not right with God. And let me show you what the Bible says and what He desires from us. And we begin to say something like, yeah, but I don't think that's for everybody, right? And we kind of just a little bit, and somebody tries to, and it's just, somebody can't hardly come to us. So, we can be so full of self as this, in this perilous times, and this generation so full of self, that the Word of God doesn't have a place to get in there. So, talked about this last week. What do we have to do? The only answer is to, we're going to get a little messy. It's going to get a little messy, right? We're going to have to get a little messy and just say, it's going to get a little messy, but I'm going to pour some self back. I'm going to empty my... You say, well, we're going to make a mess doing that. I know. It's too late. If we're already full of self. Like, I want to get out of this clean. I want to get out of this clean. I want to keep my pride. I don't want to be embarrassed. Right? You ever thought like that? Right? I don't know about going to the altar because people are going to think. If I go to the altar and pray, somebody's going to think I might have some sin. Isn't that funny? The things that we tell ourselves. Right, and we say, I don't know how to deal with that. I know this, but I don't know if I do that. It's gonna, it might cost a job, might cost a relationship, might cost this, might cost money, might cost finance, might cost something. It's gonna be messy. I know it is, folks. So can I tell you the answer? Get to know this, as he said. He said there, thou hast fully known my doctrine. So I know all that. Do you? Do I? I feel like I've learned enough Bible. No, I've studied, I've preached this whole book several times. I know it. I don't really need any more than that. If I said that as your pastor, would you? This is my life, right? This is my life preaching this book. It's been my life for almost 30 years. I mean, almost from the time I got saved, I began preaching. It's almost been there for my whole life. And so if I say I've done this for my whole adult life, and I say I've kind of got to enough, and if I said I've got to enough, I don't really need any more, I'm just going to repeat the stuff I already learned, you would say something's wrong with me. So if it's my life that I've spent, I spent 40 plus hours a week doing this, if I wouldn't that be fair to say that you're at the same place? That you're at the same place, there's more for you to learn. Listen, I'm telling you folks, the answer that Paul is trying to tell Timothy is get to know this book. And by the way, getting to know this book isn't just to hear it. You have to respond to it. You've got to do something with it. It's got to be something. And so it tells us, listen, the Word of God tells us where we are wrong. Do you know anybody that likes to be told when they're wrong? I don't. You know, some people say they do. I don't know that anybody really likes to. We might want to be, and we're going to talk about it, be helped a little bit, but the Word of God, here's what the Word of God will do. The Word of God will convict us of error. It's what it does. But then there's a third thing, is it gives correction. So, it's not just about pointing out why we're wrong, but it's the third thing, this thing about correction, explains to us how to make our wrongs right. We got to pour ourselves out. We got to get me out of it. Well, I've done this for so long. I've done this for so long, I don't even know if I could change. Well, that's what the Word of God will help us to get. It'll give us some instruction and some correction on this thing, on how to get out of it. And then the final thing is the fourth thing, and finally, instruction for righteousness. Now, everything we do isn't wrong. We can almost get that idea that God is constantly pointing out our faults. But here's the thing. Instruction for righteousness is really this. How to keep living right. How to continue living right further. Okay? How to continue living right in a way that we've got to find out something else, folks. If growth is about learning more about what God wants for me to do that I've not yet started doing in my life. Are you doing in your life everything God has shown you from the Word of God? No, it's the answer. Y'all are like, oh, is that a trick question? No, it's not a trick question. No, and the same thing goes for me. I'm not following it. I'm not doing everything. Otherwise, I'd be a perfect man. Right? I'd be perfect. I'm not perfect. I'm perfecting. God's still working on me. Right? It's like the fellow said. He said, I'm God's cooking on me. He's got me in the oven. God's cooking on me. And one day I want him to open up that oven and say, well done. Anyway, y'all get that later. Listen, the answer in these last days is still the Word of God. It's still the Word of God. Folks, if we don't know it, we are completely susceptible to being drawn away from it. The problem with the one that's so full of self is we don't know we're full of self. So how do I recognize that I don't know it like I think I know it? Here's one really easy way. Okay, when we hear something preached from the Word of God, what do I do with that? Do I take that? Does it make it out of the back door? Right? Or do I take it out with me and say, wow, praise the Lord, I've known that and I've been living that. Amen. By the grace of God. Or do we come out and say, I just don't think everybody has to do that. Or do we say, wow, that's something that I know should be in my life, and it's not, and I want to begin the messy process of letting the Word of God change me into His image. Do not think a mediocre Christianity or a stalled maturity will not put us into the place of being led astray. People that get led astray, I've seen people been in church many, many years, and they just get drawn out. They get bitter. They get angry. They get upset. And mostly it's behind, I want to do what I want to do, and I don't want to be told how to do it any different. But the Bible kind of is full of that stuff. It's kind of chock full of not what God wants to make us do, but what He wants to make us into. Wow. So here's the conclusion tonight. Number one. There is no substitute for learning and knowing the Word of God. Grandma ain't a substitute. Mom, Dad, they're not a substitute for knowing the Word of God. Being raised in a preacher's home, right? Being this, being that, I've been in church all my life, that is not a substitute for knowing the Word of God. So, for us, our discipleship program is designed to guard each and every one of us from becoming silly women. How about that? We have and I think this morning was a wonderful example of that, is two ladies working on discipleship together and looking at it and saying, you know what, I realize that's got something God has dealt with me in my life, so I need to make that thing right. Profitable for correction. Profitable for instruction in righteousness. Wow. That's pretty awesome. You say, well, I kind of knew that all along, but I really needed to see it in the Word of God. Right? And when I seen it in the Word of God is what set me free from, pardon me, but being a silly woman. Right? And I'm not trying to. I'm just saying, by the way, it's meant not to be about women. It's meant to be that kind of concept of being drawn away. And so listen, if you do not invest time in knowing it, you will not only stall in your Christian life, but you'll find yourself down the road having left Heritage Baptist Church for greener pastures. I don't ever mean to run people off. Amen. I don't want to run anybody off. Matter of fact, I try really hard not to offend people. I try really hard to be gentle. I've learned this through the years. You know, I've gotten better. I'm not mastered it. But I want to be gentle with folks because people are at different places in their life. Are growing at different places. There are different struggles that they're dealing with that we don't. Sometimes we're just like, why don't they just get right with God? Well, you just don't know. Maybe they're much righter with God than they used to be. Okay? So this is a challenge. And so I try to be gentle, but I'm going to tell you, when I preach the Word of God, I don't want to preach it as I'm trying to wear kid gloves so nobody gets offended. I want us to see what God has to say, and then I try to deal with people in a much gentler way, and I want to help people along, and I don't want anybody to get upset because of how I handle the Word of God. That's what I'm trying to say. But here's the fact. If we don't make this a part of our life, the preaching from this pulpit is not going to be the kind of comfortable thing somebody's going to sit here and not want to follow the Word of God. So people will walk away. And I don't want them to. I want people to stay here even if they're lost. I want them to get saved. Yeah, amen. But if somebody, I want the lost to be saying, you know, this preacher's still trying to help me with the Word of God. I want somebody to get saved that maybe has a lot of sin in their life. They're not ready to get over it. I'm praying that they do. Right? There's folks, maybe they're coming along, but they're stalled in their Christian life. I'm not trying to say, if you don't get with the program, get out of here. No. No, I don't want to have a backdoor ministry. That's not what I'm trying to do at all, folks. But I'm going to tell you, if we do not get in the Word of God, if we don't get comfortable with following the Lord, it's going to be uncomfortable here. Amen? Yeah. I say this Sunday night, not Sunday morning. Okay? Because there's Sunday morning only people that come, and they're not ready yet. You know, I'm glad they still come Sunday morning. Do I wish they came Sunday night? Obviously. Right? But I'm glad they come Sunday morning. I'm hoping God does something in their life that they get serious about things of God and desire Him. Yeah, they're not there yet. When are they going to be there, preacher? I don't know if they ever will. Right? But there's a process that God wants to do in our life. But if we don't get in this thing and get a hold of what He says, we're going to go away. Inevitably, that place that we're led away to, or someone that gets led away to, will be a place that has a form of religion that a lover of self would bask in. So we don't get... When we leave, draw away to greener pastures, we go to what we want. Don't you wish as kids you could have went and picked your parents? I'd pick rich parents that had a mom and dad, right? I was raised by just my mom. I'd have picked, and my mom was poor. We were on welfare when I was a kid. And she went to, you know, nursing school while we were on welfare, and she got her way through. And I remember one year my best Christmas present was a bag of used tennis balls. I appreciated those because we were poor. I didn't know I was poor until I went to school and the other kids told me I was poor. If I got to choose, I would choose one that was rich. I got the toys. Bought me a car on my 16th birthday, right? Y'all know any families? I've heard of it. I would have somewhere where we got to enjoy all the luxuries of life, a nice house, and have my own room. I shared a room with my sister in bunk beds till, too long, right? You say, isn't that weird? Well, it's just what we did back then, you know. If I got to choose, I would choose a pretty sweet situation for me. Can I tell you, when we are full of self, we're not going to pick what God wants for us. We're picking what self wants for self. The only thing that will keep us from that is getting in here to the Word of God. Which number two is just this. Paul was warning Timothy, not only of the perils of this world that may come, of the people of this world that may come, but of the perils that will continually plague us as believers. Look again at verse 12. Verse 12, he says this, "Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution." It's coming, folks. And I'm telling, I'm preaching to the choir a lot, you know, we know this comes. This is part of this life. If we're going to live godly in Christ, he wasn't just like, hey, these people are going to be coming and it's going to be part of you. But I'm going to tell you what, here's this. With a bit of warning, with a warning that this is coming and pressing us to the Word of God, we can avoid the world's pitfalls. What do we do with the warning? Father, I pray that you would help us tonight. And Lord, as we see these things and we look into your word, Lord, we see that some of the great struggles of our world is less about the great evils of the world and more of the great evils of self. Lord, we are all susceptible to this kind of behavior. Lord, we find ourselves gathering into these areas where we are the ones that can't be touched and we are the ones that explode and nobody can input anything in us. And so, Lord, I pray that you would help us this evening, that we might really take a time tonight to examine our own hearts. Or maybe tonight we would each look into our life, take a moment to say, Lord, search me, try me, see if there be any of this self-centered wickedness in me. And then, Lord, you'd help us to be drawn to the only thing that can set us free, which is your word. Lord, I pray that you'd have your will and way in this time of invitation tonight. Thank you for it now in Jesus' name. Let's all stand together.